morning, everyone. So, now that I've recently turned 50, it has made me stop and think about my future and my life. How will I finish this race known as life? I've been thinking of how quick the last 50 years of my life has gone, and if I'm realistic, that I probably won't have another 50 to go. Although I'd like to think that I do. Is it just me that thinks too much about all this stuff? What will the end result be? We all know we're going to die, but I'm trying to work out how. Without sounding too dramatic, I've been thinking, how will my life end? Will I end up with dementia, like my residents? Will I end up with a chronic illness? Will I just drop dead one day? Or the ideal way to just fall asleep and not wake up? So then the questions in my head start. Have I achieved and completed everything I have set out to do? Have I completed everything God has asked me to do? What's really important that I need to get done, and what's just a bucket list? I sometimes feel like life is a race and I'm in first place, trying to fit in more hours than there are in a day. So often we start our Christian life strong. We're all gung-ho, on fire for God, as the saying goes. But as time goes on and we get comfortable in our life, the race becomes boring. We quickly get into a routine. As we get older, we stay in the same routines. I imagine it's a bit like a marathon runner. Not that I've ever run a marathon. But I did walk a 5-kilometre marathon once. So does that count? Yeah, thank you. How does a marathon runner stay focused on the finish line when they're only halfway through, when they're only 2 hours into a 4-hour race? I would assume they have to keep the finish line in their sight. But is this enough to keep them going faster and stronger? Is the ultimate prize worth it when they're only halfway through the race? In Hebrews 12:1-3, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that usually entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." It's not only about running the race, but finishing it well. It's our choice as to how strong we finish. I've had a few friends over the years who have run marathons, and they have told me setting the right goals for the day of the race is an essential part of the mental side of running a marathon. But it's certainly not the only part. Many runners, especially beginners, spend weeks, if not months or years, focusing on being physically prepared, making sure their bodies are in tip-top shape. Many ignore the importance of dealing with the mental side of their training, from having reasonable goals to coping with race day nerves and learning how to push themselves to the finish line. They tell me it is vital to have mental strategies in place for all the challenges of the race. That's why setting the right goals is so important. A runner who starts a marathon planning to finish in 4 hours but is way behind that pace at the halfway mark can feel like giving up and losing focus. We need to fix our eyes on God the same way a marathon runner fixes his mind on the finish line. It's very easy to lose focus on what our end result will be when we reach God's finish line. It's so hard to keep focused on God. I've tried so hard throughout my life to stay focused on him, but not always succeeding. I think it has to do with what we allow into our lives that can distract us from God. Not all of these things are bad. In fact, a lot aren't. but they become a problem when we allow them to distract us from looking at and to God. I'm talking about they can be anything from a job, car, sport, movie, to family, social lives, and the list goes on. There are so many things in this world that fight for our time and attention. When we allow them to take too much, we lose our focus. The answer is not necessarily to cut these distractions out entirely, in some cases it is, but to realise that they can distract us and we need to keep them in check. A few common things that can interfere with our focus on God is, of course, firstly, money. We all need it to live in this world, but we must not be owned by it. Money itself is an interference in our walk with God. Sorry, money itself is not an interference in our walk with God. The love of money is. I think the following passage sums this up quite nicely. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So if we trust God, he'll take care of us. That doesn't mean we should quit our jobs or not earn money. We just need to realise that God is more important and is far more capable of taking care of us than we are. Number two, media, another big one. Things like the internet, Facebook, stupid iPad games. So the story goes, let's play Township, Pastor Chris says. I've been playing it, it's a good relaxer. Yep, I'm going to do that. So I get onto this stupid game called Township, which can take up so many hours if you choose. But the cows need feeding. The chickens lay the eggs and then they need feeding again. So this game just goes on and on and on. But I seem to feel like I'm the only one left standing now. These guys have all left me and Julie is still going. Luke? No excuse. So have I, feeding chickens. This game takes so much time. No, but the plane, you only have a certain amount of time. If you know this stupid game, you will understand. Oh, my goodness. It's so easy to get caught up in this stuff, trust me. The media is so dangerous because it is easy to get caught up. Everywhere we turn, some sort of media is right in our face. Almost every commercial on TV and every advertisement on the internet is trying to convince us that we're missing something and they are the ones that can fill the need. I could literally go on and on about the media and how distracting it is. The key to overcoming the media is to be wise in what we watch, read, play, etc., and in how much time we spend with it. Lynn. We should always be willing to give it up. And quite honestly, some of these things we indulge in the media, we need to give up. Number three, relationships. Every kind of relationship falls into this category. Friends, parents, siblings, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, children, co-workers, bosses, grandchildren, etc. We can allow any of these relationships to distract us from God. It is our relationships that are our connection with the world, and it is our human nature to have them. But when we allow any one of these relationships to become more important to us than God, they become a distraction. In a nutshell, relationships are extremely important, but our relationship with God is of the most, of the utmost importance. Routine. This is a common thing I allow myself to get distracted by all the time. The most important thing is that spending time with God should be in our routine. Far too often we manage to just squeeze God in when we have a spare minute. I'm extremely guilty of this. It's so easy to get caught up in all the things we have to do, like work, eat, sleep, etc. So we need to make sure spending time with God is a part of our routine. Our work. Work, work, work. What a distraction this can be. This can be in the form of many different things in and out of the house. I've said this before, I spend far too much time doing jobs around the home. So going back to our marathon runners, they can often find themselves obsessively focusing on the pain in their legs, or whether they ate enough for breakfast, or what hills and mountains may be around the next corner. Overcoming these distractions is a matter of paying attention to what's going on right there and then. There are many ways to run a race. To complete a race, the least a runner has to do is to cross the finish line. It's a simple enough principle, yet it can be a lot harder to achieve than imagined. We need to be strong to the finish. What are your goals to the finish line? When people die, they are remembered for how they finish their lives, their good deeds, and what they did during their life. Life is not about how we start out, it's about how we finish. When life gets tough, God equips us not only to run the race, but also to finish it well. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Apostle Paul wrote, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." We are not competing against each other, as in marathons, but against the struggles, physical and spiritual, that stand in the way of us reaching the prize. Philippians 3:4, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Every person runs their own race. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Each of us is capable of being a winner. We're told to run in such a way as to get the prize. And to do this, we must set aside anything that might stop us or slow us down from living and teaching the gospel of Christ. We are all unique, and each of us runs a different race. Yet I tend to compare myself with other people. When my race seems tough and I want to feel sorry for myself, it's easy to look at someone else and say, if I had his or her race to run, it would be no problem. I could handle that. If I had the money they have, I could run with perseverance the race set before me. If I had better health, I'd be able to keep going until the end. We can rationalise so much until we eventually get to the point where we say, it's okay for me to quit. I don't have to run with perseverance because my race is so much harder than that of everyone else. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. But God says, I want you to run this race. This is what I hold you accountable for. Don't think about others. Keep your eyes on me, and together we'll run the race. If you're going to finish, you've got to keep running until we reach the finish line. A good question is, How do we keep our eyes fixed on God when there are so many distractions? Maybe like me, you can waste an entire day trolling Facebook and being nosy. Have you ever sat for hours watching absolutely nothing on TV with the remote control in your hand? And I always say, why am I wasting my time watching this rubbish? The hardest time of the day is when I read my Bible or prepare for my communions or preaching. I can open up the Bible to any page and immediately distracted in like 5 seconds. Or type something into Google, and it doesn't matter what I've typed in, somehow it always seems to end up loading a cupcake page. The new popular term for this disease is shiny object syndrome. I don't know if you struggle with this as much as I do, but my guess is that you may find it hard to focus on God in a world full of shiny distractions. We're distracted by our phones. We're distracted by our computers or iPads. We're distracted by those around us. I love this scripture in Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's so easy to get caught up in our routines, but the most important thing is that everything we do, we should be doing for the glory of God. We can have great motives behind our work, but sometimes we let the work become more important than listening to Jesus and working for him. Number 6, ourselves. The last on the list of distractions, and possibly the most likely to distract us, is ourselves. We are by nature sinful, and if we live by our nature, we will not be working towards the goal Jesus has set out for us. That is why we need to die to ourselves and live in Christ. Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. But no matter what we do, there will be a constant battle within ourselves between spirit and flesh. Romans 7:18. I know that God does not live in me, that is, in my human nature. For even though the desire to do good is in me, I'm not able to do it. If the musicians could please come up. I'll just finish on this. Philippians 3:15-21 from the Message Bible. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods, belches are their praise, all they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Saviour, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. It is a constant struggle to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to not become distracted by the passing concerns and things of this world. But if we are aware of what can and does interfere with our walk with God, we can begin to take the necessary actions to prevent them. We can begin to pray to God each day, asking him to remove the unnecessary distractions in our lives. to remove the things that aren't of him and the things that are stopping us from moving forward and running the race he has set out for us. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus ran the best race. He did everything that he was asked to do by his Father. He ran at full pace the whole time, doing what was needed to be done. He remained focused while there were so many distractions, and he got to the finish line. Thank you.